Pray, and then we'll get into the study. God, thank you so much for your love. A love that is abounding, a love that is beyond our comprehension. Because God, to realize, Lord, that we break our promises to you and our devotion is waning at times to you. And with our mouths we praise you, but our hearts are far from you. And God, we don't deserve the awesome love that you display towards us through Jesus Christ. So I want to say thank you. And God, I thank that tonight as we get into your word and we realize that the dependence upon you for just our daily basic needs and our... God, it's awesome to see how you display yourself just through the simple thing as bread. You show your love to us. You show your grace and your mercy to us. And we just thank you for it, God. We thank you for the opportunity that we get to share it with others. We thank you for the simple things like making cookies or serving a glass of lemonade to a group of kids and getting to know them and getting to hear their story and how you encourage us through their love of you. We thank you, Father, for what you're doing in this church and how you're using the people in the pews to proclaim your word, and it's changing lives from small children to older adults. You're drawing people into your presence. You're drawing them to your Son. You're drawing them to your truth and to healing and to wholeness. And Father, we just thank you for allowing us to be a part of it. God, we live in difficult days. We live in days when people, your word says that the love, their love is going to grow cold. And therefore, Father, things are going to be done and said to each other, brothers and sisters, fathers and sons. God, we live in a very difficult time. Even darker days are ahead. So, Lord, we need to look to you for wisdom and guidance. We need to look to you for help. Beyond the physical illnesses that are attacking our bodies, beyond, Father, the discomforts of circumstances, God, we need to look to you for our daily sustenance, our daily breath, our daily strength. We need to look to you, Father, for daily wisdom and understanding. Thank you, God, for being there, for promising that you'll be there to give it to us, for promising to light up our path, for promising to straighten us out, Lord, when we get crooked, for promising to pick us up when we're broken and down on our knees because we've messed up one more time. Thank you, Father, for all that you do. Tonight, as we get into your word, Father, I pray that it would begin to jump around in our lives and it would knock off some of the garbage that's there. And Father, it would prop up some of the things that are weak and broken, fix the stuff that ain't working right, heal that which is diseased. Father, may your word get into our lives and may it have your effect in us. Lead us, Father, to be the people you call us to be. It is in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So we're looking at the disciples' prayer. It's the Lord's Prayer, commonly known, but it's what Jesus told his disciples to pray. And as we're looking at this, I'm not a guy that sits down every morning or every evening or every afternoon and just repeats, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." If you've been to any Web City football games and you've sat by me after we do this prayer, at times I'd kind of look around and go, "Really? Really?" You know, because they recite the... never mind. They recite this prayer and it just seems so empty. But Jesus says, "Okay, guys, you want to know how to pray? You want to know what it's like, I think we need to put these nuggets of knowledge or these nuggets of truth into our prayers. I think we need to be praying the idea of our Father who art in heaven, the idea of hallowed be your name, the idea of your kingdom come, the idea in verse 11 of give us this day our daily bread. putting that, what does that mean and how do I employ that or implement that in my daily prayer life? And we've been looking at this whole prayer. You see the introduction I put on your outline. I'm not going to read it to you. But tonight we're looking at this line and he literally says, when you pray, pray this about yourself. Ask God to do this in your life. When you pray, put this idea into it. And what does he mean by give us this day our daily bread? And let me just say, I could probably summarize this whole thing and we could go home right now with the words of Jan Paul this morning in the kitchen. We were talking about how God answers simple prayers and how we shouldn't be astonished that God answers simple prayers because God wants to answer every one of our prayers. And she says, you know, I'm learning. As a matter of fact, she said, Tom has been making fun of me because I keep God very busy. Do you remember the conversation this morning? She leaves her cell phone at Walmart. Three different Walmarts in town, and Jan has left her cell phone at every single one. And as soon as she realizes she's left her cell phone there, she goes, oh God, please keep it safe. And she turns around and goes back, and the cell phone is right there. She said, I've been praying that God would show me where my sunglasses are because I can't find them. Said, it was days going on. I couldn't find them. She goes, I sat down in the car and I prayed one more time. And as soon as I finished praying, she goes, oh, I know where they are. They're underneath the jeans that I took off the... she's just giggling. She goes, but don't you think that's what God wants? He wants us to... And these ladies were setting out breadsticks. And I look over and I said, Jan, Matthew chapter 6, verse 11 says, give us this day our daily... And they all said, bread. Bread in this day was nothing more than a simple, everyday thing. It was basic. It wasn't crazy. It wasn't extravagant. This is a prayer of declaration. This is a prayer that declares some things about God, who we think He is, what we think about God. So when Jesus says, when you pray, you need to understand that when you say, give us this day our daily bread, you are declaring that you believe that God's power is there for you. This is the declaration of your faith, your trust, your belief in God's power. You're saying, God, I can't do it without you today. I can't even get by. I can't even find a slice of bread, Lord, without you today. God, if you don't show up in my life today, I am fully dependent upon you. And if you don't show up today in my life for my very basic thing, I am a goner. That's the declaration. God, your power is necessary for everything in my life. In Psalm 50 and verse 15... The psalmist says, here, God says to the psalmist, you want to bring me glory? Trust me in your time of need. Now, most of us think of our time of need and bringing God glory as those crazy, crazy times. Shannon showed me a picture of his niece's car this evening. Had a little car wreck. What kind of car was that? It was a Ranger pickup. You know, a pickup truck. It's supposed to be kind of square. If you look at this picture, the whole front end is crushed back, and right in the middle where the engine should be is this giant, looks like somebody just took a big cut right out of the middle about that wide. I said, what did she hit? She hit a tree. And the tree won against the car. Then he showed me an x-ray of her foot, ankle. Bones are where they're not supposed to be. They're just not there. I'm pretty sure when she was hydroplaning across that highway and across there, whatever she was in the yard, hit the tree, she was probably praying to God. And I'm pretty sure when she was laying there in the car and in pain and wondering what the heck happened, she's probably, Lord, I need your power today. Lord, I need it right now. I'm pretty sure when her mom and daddy got the phone call, Lord, we need big things. That's where I can glorify God, and the big things where I really need God to show up. Well, that's obvious. But Jesus didn't say, ask God to give you the big things. He said, when you pray, you need to declare that you believe that God's power is available for the everyday, every kind of thing. And the psalmist says, you want to give God glory? You trust Him in your day or your time of trouble. I'm hungry. I think I'd like a piece of bread. In modern day America, finding a piece of bread is pretty easy. I don't think it's going to be that way for long, but it's pretty easy. It's a pretty simple thing. In this day, in Jesus' day, finding a hunk of bread was pretty easy. It was common. It was ordinary. A lot of times when we're praying, we forget that God's power is what gives us the common ordinary. We're always praying for God to do the big things. Now, please don't take offense, but you look at our prayer for healing intervention. There's big things on here, surgeries and cancers and all kinds of stuff. I mean, Angie Huebner came to me Sunday night in tears telling me about her dad and the news. And God, do your thing, God. It's a miracle. But do you realize that Jesus is saying that what you get for bread every day is just as big a miracle as healing of cancer? I believe in God's power. I believe, God, that you are going to meet my need today. I believe you're going to meet my need. I am proclaiming my faith in your power to do, God, what is necessary to take care of me today. Now, notice he talks about bread. When we think we need to be taken care of, I mean, if you're really hungry, and all God gives you when you pray out to him, God, give me, I'm starving, my belly's empty, I'm emaciated, I'm all weak, and God says, here's a little bit of bread. Are we going to be like the Israelites who every day got the bread? Or are we going to be thankful? See, Jesus, these guys asked Jesus, show us the secret to the power of that connection that you have with your Father. And Jesus goes, whatever he gives me, I am fully satisfied in what he gives me. I don't ask. I don't complain. I don't gripe. I don't moan about it. I don't think he's cheating me because he's not giving me what I want. I can't believe, Jesus. I mean, this is the idea. Give us this day our daily diamond. Give us this day our daily Cadillac. Give us this day our daily satellite dish. Give us this day our daily allotment of candy, roses, and gumdrops. No, give us this day our daily bread. One of the problems of our prayers and why they are weak and insufficient and impotent is we want more than what God is offering because we think what God is offering ain't good enough. Oh, and that's a cool word to study in the Bible, contentment, too. We're studying that in our Sunday school class this week. Contentment. I think I got that on the outline too, if we get there. What is contentment? Good point, Margaret. Listen, think about this. If God can create everything from nothing, can he take care of me? If God can feed 2 million Israelites for 40 years in a desert, can God take care of me? I mean, if he knows every one of those 2 million Israelites and every single hair on their head and every single need they think they have, and he took care of them, their sandals did not wear out. I just bought a new pair of kicks a week ago. I've already run a few hundred miles in them, it feels like. They should still be good. This one's already breaking down, Stephanie. I'm going back to the runaround going, it shouldn't break down. It's 2 weeks old. Now, if I was in the wilderness with all them Israelites, that'd have been fine. Somebody help me, I'm stuck. Think about it. Cramp. Think of, just God darn it. Lord, help me, I'm cramping. No, nobody's coming to rub it. Thank you so much for loving me. I declare God's power. I declare the second one is God's promises. God's promises. I look at the disciples, and as I'm studying this prayer, I'm studying the disciples in this day, and they were struggling. I mean, Jesus said, come and follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. Come and follow me, and you will see... You will see great things. You will do great things. Things that you never thought of. Imagine. I mean, Jesus has made some incredible promises to these guys, and he tells them who they are, and he tells them who he is and how the relationship is, and yet they still struggle with doubt and all this stuff. And he says, give us this day our daily bread as a declaration that, God, I really do trust that when you tell me you're going to take care of me, you're going to take care of me. When you tell me, Lord, that you're going to get me through today, he's really going to get me through today. He might not get me through today with all the magical wonders that the world has to offer, but he will get me through this trial or this temptation. I mean, I can't tell you the stupidity in my own life where I'm thinking, Lord, you tell me to ask you for help. Why don't I ask you for help? Because when I do ask him for help, you know what he does? He helps. He helps. Just, Lord, I laid in bed the other day, and Lord, I really need your help right now. I just really need your help right now. So just help me, you know. And I had an idea of what that was going to look like. Still hadn't happened that way, but I got through that day. Got through that situation. I got through that issue. I don't know how to deal with this situation. Lord, I need your help. And you know what? When that situation has exited my office, I'm still alive, I'm still standing, that person is not mad at me, we have a better relationship. And I'm like, he kept his promise. Sometimes I don't know how he's going to do it, but I'm learning that he does. So when we this is a declaration of, I believe in your promise, but it's also, and I think the greatest declaration is, I believe in your provision. I really believe, God, that you are here to provide what I need. That's hard. I mean, give me this day my daily portion. That's how that verse reads. My daily portion. Give me today. Lord, you know, Father, what my next hour is going to bring. I don't know. I think I have an idea of how the rest of my night's going to go. I think I do. But I don't know for sure, but he does. So when I say, Lord, give me this daily bread, I'm come before him and I'm acknowledging that he is the one who provides for me. But secondarily, I'm acknowledging I'm willing to receive what he's offering. Not what I want, but what he's offering. You see, sometimes these disciples get a lot like you and I do, and we give God our laundry list, our Walmart list, our Christmas list. God, this is what I want. When we say, give us, get you, God, you give me what you have for me today. We are declaring his willingness to give, but we are also declaring our willingness to receive his provision. Nothing less, but certainly nothing more. That's a declaration that, see, these disciples, they would love to come to God. God, I mean, they were looking for a Messiah to conquer. Lord, we want these Romans dealt with. We want our nation back. God, we want to be your people again. They had all kinds of wants and demands of God. And Jesus said, here's a problem with your prayer. You're demanding God. You're not receiving what he's willing to offer. Was it on Facebook today, or was it something else I saw? Maybe it was a church sign. Maybe, I don't know. But something that says, when God takes something out of your hand, it's not to punish you, it's to make you open your hand to receive something that he has for you. Something like that. And I thought, well, that kind of makes sense, because there's times when God, I feel like God is taking away from me or not providing for me what I think I need or deserve or necessitate joy, happiness, contentment. And all the while, God's going, I'm trying to give you exactly what you need. You just won't receive it because I think I've got a better idea than God. Give us this day our daily bread. Now think about it, at least as a parent, it feels good. And I don't mean this in any kind of conceited way. It feels really good when my grown children come to me and say, Dad, I need your help. Is there something affirming about that? Braden, yeah, but when my grown children, when my dad calls me, my dad. I think my dad's still pretty smart. This is online, so hopefully if he listens to it, I'm still in his will. But if he doesn't spend it all, my dad calls and goes, I have a question. There's just something affirming about that in my own spirit. Think of God. We are created in His image. We are created in that character. You think of God, and I look at it as a father when my children come to me, or someone that I respect comes to me. How else can I come to, can I honor God by going to Him and going, God, I'm in trouble, and I need your help, and I know what you are willing to give me is the very best, so I'm willing to take what you're willing to give. I might think I need a T-bone cooked medium rare with a large potato and all the fixings on it and a salad and dessert. But God says, no, all you really need is a hunk of bread. Really, God? I kind of had my taste buds set on this really good buffet. God goes, that'll kill you. But here's a piece of bread. Am I satisfied with what God is offering? That's the declaration of this prayer. Secondly, this part of the prayer shows the dependence. It is a declaration of our total dependence on God. When we say, "Give me this day, I'm honoring you, I'm worshiping you as the great giver, but I'm expressing my total dependence on God." It's a prayer of confession. God, I can't do this on my own. Now, that's pretty easy for most of us. I don't know if it's easy for me. It's easy to just walk up to God and go, God, I can't do this. I don't want to do this anymore. Anybody ever been there? Okay, that's not the prayer of confession that this is. But we all love to confess, God, I can't do this no more. I'm done. This is really what we're saying, right? I'm done with this garbage. I'm done being treated this way. I am so done with these foolish church people. They just don't know how to live anymore. Margaret felt bad this morning when I told her I haven't slept in like 3 nights. She's like, what are we doing? It's not you. It's this hormonal rage thing I have going all of a sudden. Watch out. But that's not the confession of this prayer. This is, Lord, I can't meet my own basic needs for life. I can't meet my own basic needs for love. The idea, I think, goes so much deeper than a piece of bread. I'm learning this in my own life. I love my wife dearly. I love my marriage. I love the relationship I have with my wife now more than I've ever loved it at any other time in 25 years of marriage. And it's because I'm learning that I can live without her. She's not my life. He is. Now, again, I love my wife. I don't want anything to happen to her. Da 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 da. But the idea is, I can't do anything. I can't meet my own need for happiness. I have to look to Him, be totally dependent on Him. What else do you need? Well, golly, let's look at the world and tell the world, I got Jesus. Let's look at the church, as church people, and stand up and say, I got Jesus, I need nothing else. Okay, give me your car keys, give me your house keys, give me the passcodes to your accounts and your banks. Give me your children. It's one thing to say it, right? It's one thing to say it. It's a whole other thing to begin to learn to live it. That's hard. So this is a prayer of it's a prayer of confession. It's a simple statement that goes, okay, God, I can't even meet my own basic need for anything. But you can. So today, God, in this moment, I'm gonna look to you to meet this need. Because you know what happens in our own lives, happens to all of us in this room, happens to me all the time, is when I look to anything or anybody else but God to satisfy what I have in need. When I want my wife to pat me on the back and say, that was the best sermon ever. You're better than any other, you're better than Jesus when it comes to preaching. It's what I expect every Sunday. I've not gotten it yet. Well, I walk on pews, you know, thinking, and when I don't get it, I sometimes get a little pouty. And when I get criticized, I get even a little more pouty. And I go, Lord, I'm done with this woman. You can take her now. I'm so done with this. She's supposed to be my helpmeet. She's supposed to be a chair. I'm telling God what she's supposed to be, right? Huh? Lord, Margaret. When I don't get my felt need from the felt person thing or thing, God's pointing and going, you're supposed to find that in me. Do you preach for your wife or for any other them sheeples? Or do you proclaim for me? Do you do X, Y, Z? Do you look for X, Y, Z in somebody else? Or do you do that in me? This is the idea that Jesus is trying to get across to the disciples and in our lives as well. Do we look to, we can say the great words, all I got's Jesus, all I need's Jesus. Jesus is going, really? Let's see. Let me show you, because this is what Jesus wants to do. He wants to show us in our life what we are looking for. Anything else from somebody else that we should be first getting it from him. I'm not saying that my wife shouldn't be my helper. I'm not saying she shouldn't be my encourager. I know plenty of women, I know plenty of wives that aren't getting the spiritual leadership from their spouse. And I look at them and go, you should, I agree. But just because he's not doing it, you should be looking there first anyway. You can go on any aspect of this. And this is the idea that he's getting across these guys. I have weaknesses. I have limitations, God. And again, this is what we normally like to do. God, I have weaknesses and limitations. I just can't do this. I can't take this anymore. Anybody been there? You know, I'm done. It's somebody else's turn to step up and do whatever that is. We're confessing our weaknesses and limitations to God, but at the same time we're saying, okay, now I can't do this, Lord, but you've put me here, so you are going to do it through me. Peter, getting out of the boat, you call me, Jesus, and I will what? Walk on water. That's the declaration. I can't do it without you, but if you call me to it, you're going to bring me through it. That's the idea. These are the kinds of things. I'm not saying, just give me this day my daily bread. We need to begin to declare our weaknesses, confess our limitations, not as excuses to not be busy with or for God, but as a weakness and a confession of our limitations to say, okay, God, here I am. Use me in this miraculous way. It's a prayer. I don't know. I was listening to Tony Evans this week, and I think I put in your outline this idea of there's no such thing as a self-made man. He's preaching on fathers, and yeah, 1 Corinthians 15:10, Paul says, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." Paul is making the declaration to the church in Corinth. There ain't one of us that makes us anything. There's no such thing as a self-made man if we're a Christian, self-made woman, a self-made person. We are made by him, for him, in him, and through him. And I think as we look at this, sometimes we, and the reason I kind of stuck this in there in that outline is because many times in our life we will limit God based on our own limitations. We weaken God based on our own weakness. I can't do that. I mean, it's a great, great, great excuse of many, many, many pew potatoes. You don't understand. We can't give money or time or resources because we don't have enough. We are looking at our difficulties and our problems through the eyes of our own limitations and weaknesses. We're not looking at it from God's perspective of what He says, promises He will do in us. So when it's a confession of our weakness and our limitation, it is a confession of, I can't do this, but God, I believe You will do it in me and through me. That's the idea. I've used that example several times when people have asked me, why in the world did you break ground before you had any of the money available for it? Because it's what God called us to do. You know, if you'd have saved up all your pennies and done it right, you'd already been done with it. And can I tell you right now that if we've already been done with it, we would not see this woman alive here right now. She is a product of us waiting. Of us going through the slow motions. The gentleman who's making all the noise out there right now, no doubt in my mind, is a product still to come of us taking our own sweet time. It's the idea of God has brought us to a situation in our life where He's called us to test Him, to trust Him. God, our weakness is this. God, our limitation is this. And God says, yeah, but mine ain't. And yeah, I think God speaks like that. Listen, a self-made man is nothing but a self-centered man, okay? A self-made man will look at his limitations. A self-centered man, person, let's just be politically and sexually correct, a self-made person is a self-centered person. When all we do is give the excuse and the rationalization and the reasons why we can't, we are focusing on ourselves, not focusing on what God has promised for our life. I can't make bread, God says, don't need to, I'm going to provide it for you. That's what He did for the wilderness wanderers. God, we ain't got no water. Check out that rock. Water don't come out of rocks. Does now. I mean, you see, you get the point. The idea is us declaring, God, I need You. I can't do this on my own. It is a prayer of confession, but it's also a prayer of confidence. Give me this day that which is necessary for life. I believe You will take care of me today. And it is written in a context and with special little marks in the Greek that means that when I pray this, I know that You will take care of me today. And I know that You will take care of me tomorrow. And I know that You will take care of me the next day. And the idea is because You've proven Yourself to me yesterday. What did God do yesterday? Kept me alive. He did. Kept me alive. What did He gave me? He gave me breath to breathe. He gave me food to eat. He gave me people to talk to. He gave me some semblance of sleep. He's given me this. I mean, I have full confidence in You, God, that You're going to take care of today, tomorrow, and the next day. Margaret, you were talking to my son today in the car. Braden said he wasn't ready to die, didn't want to die. Kind of was a little fear to dying, right? And he wasn't a fear to dying, he was a fear of being killed by ISIS. It's one of his little things right now. And Margaret goes, well, honey, I mean, good old preacher Margaret, just jumps right in. I couldn't even speak. She was going so fast, furious. She just started yapping. My Braden, son, you don't need, when you're born again, when you're in Jesus, you know, and she, I mean, the whole trip from here to Carthage, she just preaching Jesus at my son. Braden's back there going, she's worse than you, Dad. She said this, you can have confidence. Now, how many of you have confidence that if you died right now, you'd go to heaven? I mean, how are you going to get there? Don't have to worry. Just Bible says to be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. I often wonder, why didn't God say how it happens? I mean, Days of Our Lives, General Hospital, Blue Bloods, all these movies, Transformers even. You watch the movies long enough, you'll see that they depict some way people go, flute. Bible doesn't say how you're going to get there, but all of us say, I'm going. Is that what the Bible says? In the blink of an eye? Okay, I'll get back to it. I believe it, but does the Bible say it? I'm going to cramp again, Marilyn.
No, it does say it. The Bible says
Where does it say the angel's going to come down and carry us? Anybody else know that? Angels carried Lazarus. Other people died and we don't see him carrying, being carried. Oh. So your confidence is when you die, angels coming to get you.
You've got a couple examples of that in the Bible.
All right. Oh, man, when it's dogs or something crazy like that. Or what happens if it ain't angels? And all of a sudden you're there and you're, oh, I got cheated. I didn't get angels. See? Love it. I love it. I love it. Oh, Lord. I love it. I believe, I mean, shoot fire. If Bruce Jenner believes he's one thing and his dog believes it's another thing, I can. Sorry. All right. God, listen. Since God did yesterday, we can believe God will do tomorrow, right? But we don't, none of us died yesterday, to my knowledge. And none of us were carried off into heaven by a chariot or angels or Mustang or anything else. So we're all still here, but we believe in the promise that when we die, when we are absent from this body, we'll be present with the Lord. So we have pure confidence, full confidence that we're going to spend, we're going to go there. And how long are we going to be there? Okay, but we haven't experienced that yet, have we? So how do we know it's true? So you have confidence in what God has spoken to you. All right, that's the idea of praying. Lord, you have made this promise to me. My mama said, no, God, you said. Your word declares this. Lord, it's happened right here. You said that when this happens in my life, this is going to happen in my life. God, you said when this is taking place, then I can know this is taking place. When Jesus says, Lord, or boys, ask God to take care of your day today and your day tomorrow, you can have confidence that just as confident as you are going to spend eternity in heaven, He's going to meet your very basic needs today. We're back to the first point. We tend to only be thankful, and really praise the big stuff. But Jesus says the bread. You know what else about bread we know? You know what else you know about bread? What else do we know about bread? What happens to bread if it sits out too long? Good to watch you think. Stale and moldy. Stale. Too many of us are living on what God did yesterday, when God's got something new, bigger, greater today. That's the point, Margaret. That's, man, see, the people up front get this.
Sorry.
No. What happens to the stuff we don't like in life? I'm one of those guys that likes rye bread. I love rye bread. Wonder, white bread, that's ucky. That goes moldy in my house. Homemade bread, that gets ate up quick because it tastes good. Store-bought, Wonder, white, ugh. Always Save when I was in college, Always Save, yellow banded bread, can't be good. I hate that stuff. We throw away because it gets bad. How many times in our life do we look at what God has provided for us and we go, I don't like that, God. So it sits over there on the shelf and gets stale and moldy. How many times do we miss out on something awesome because we look at it and go, that's just bread. No, I don't want bread. That's the wrong kind of bread. It's a great example of it back in the Old Testament. The Israelites, Lord, we're tired of bread. We're tired of it. I don't want it anymore. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, Paul's telling the church in Rome that God is working out all things for good. We need to realize that sometimes the simple piece of bread, the simple ordinary act of God that we don't like, that we look at and go, that's just not, that's God's good. That's what God intends. That's what God is using in our life. And we can't turn our back on that, and we can't walk away from that. We need to learn, and Margaret said the word earlier, to be content in that. What is contentment? What is contentment? You see, the outline, I'll give you the line in the outline. Many times, and I get to have this conversation in my own life with my own heart and my own God and my own wife and many other people. Many times we look at contentment and we say, well, contentment is learning to be satisfied no matter our circumstances. That's a great Webster's English definition of contentment. But you know, the Greek word that Paul uses and Peter uses and Jesus uses is a word that goes beyond being satisfied in our circumstances. It is a word that actually begins to lead us down a path, and you see it there in your outline, that it's not satisfaction in our circumstances, it is satisfaction that His strength is there in our weakness. It is the realization that Paul, and I think I gave you, did I give you a... a couple different scriptures there. I don't have it in my outline, but I think I put it in your outline because it was second to Philippians 4:11-13. Paul defines that contentment, that idea of trusting Him. And it is an idea of Paul saying, listen, if you go read Philippians 4, you see that the circumstances in Paul's life aren't perfect. And he doesn't say, I'm just willing to sacrifice for the sake of the circumstances. No, he says, I know that in these circumstances, where my weakness is totally, it's going to cause me to be failing in every situation, Paul says, I have learned that this is where His strength pulls me through. I am content, Paul says, knowing that no matter where I find myself, my God is able. No matter what is being taken from me, no matter how far away from safety or security I am, Paul says, I'm not just learning to be satisfied with crud. No, Paul is saying, I am learning that when I am in difficult, trying times, when I am in uncomfortable situations, His strength is always there. What Paul is talking about contentment. And so many of us, we become self-made martyrs. We go, this is just my cross to bear.
I think it's a peace of mind. Peace of mind. That's what God's contentment is. If I learn to keep Him, if I settle down and say, okay, God, this is money, that's when I can truly feel peace.
And many people miss, and that's what the disciples missed many times, and that's what Jesus is trying to get across to these guys. Is, listen, you're not a martyr, and you're not being punished, and the tribulations and persecutions and trials that you're going through in this life for the sake of Christ are not there to belittle you. They're there to reveal the power of Christ in you. And there is, you know, so many of us, and I hear it in my own life all the times. You know, I hear it in the life of people who are, I mean, they, Lord, I love You, and I want to worship You, and I want to serve You, and God, I'm trying the very best I can. But then out the other corner of their mouth, the tough times they're going through, it's just the cross I have to bear. No, Paul went into these things rejoicing. Peter says, consider it all joy, my brothers. Peter was the one who looked at Jesus every time the going got tough in the Gospels, and it was like, Seriously? Do we have to do what? Why? But when Peter writes to the church, his first letter, 1 Peter, Peter says, you know what the one of the greatest, the most secret, wonderful ingredient in the Christian life is? You know what will bring more joy to your life and more glory to God? You know what will cause you to walk closer to God? You know what will defeat the enemy even more? Is in the midst of your tribulations, you are rejoicing in Christ. You want to tick off the devil when he comes at you full bore? Go, bring it on! I got more of Jesus. I mean, that's the idea that Peter says. Peter in the Gospels, I don't want to go through. This is hard. He was a whining little weenie. You read 1 Peter, he stands up and he goes, listen, if you're unwilling to die, if you're unwilling to be put on the cross, if you're unwilling to suffer, you ain't worthy of Christ. That's a total change. from the old Peter to the new Peter. And it's the idea that they were learning, they're dead now, but they were learning as they walked with Christ in order that contentment was not just going, it's just the life of a Christian. It's just the life of a small town preacher. It's just the life of a small Baptist church. It's just the life of, I'm just going to have to suffer through this crappy marriage. I'm going to have to suffer through this poor job. I'm going to have to suffer through empty bank account. That is not the role of a suffering servant. The role of a suffering servant is to be content in the strength that is Christ in the midst of our weaknesses. I love the great promises. We'll finish with these. There's so much, and I got 2 minutes, and we can do it. Okay? God's word to us, okay, about prayer. Number one, Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me, I will answer thee, I will show you great and mighty things which you don't know. Call unto me, call out to him. Here's the promise. Call out to him and he will reveal what you don't know. Now, how many of you again believe that because the Bible says so, when you die, you're going to heaven? Jeremiah 33:3. Call out to Jesus. Call out to the Lord God, Jehovah. What's going on? I need some help. God says, I'll show you what you don't know. He doesn't say he's going to show you everything. But he'll show you what you need to know that you don't currently know. How do I get through this? Fill in the blank. Lord, help me get through. How do I do this? He might not just put a 3-page outline in front of you and have a blinking neon sign and come down and start writing on the wall. But he will say, follow me. Abram, get up. Let's go. Where are we going? I'll show you. How are we going to get there, God? I'll let you know. How will I know when we're there? I'll tell you. What do I take? I'll tell you. That was the conversation between God and Abram when God said, get out of Dodge, let's go. I'm going to show you a new land. Jeremiah 33:3. Second promise. John 14:13-14. Jesus says, whatever you ask in my name, I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, I'm not a name it claim it, and I laugh at name it claim it, because I've looked at name it claim it and gone, you know what? I claim a Mustang in the name of Jesus. I never did get it. I had to go out on my own and go into debt to get it. So it wasn't him. This is the idea. Jesus says, ask by the name of Jesus. What this means is ask for what gives God the greatest glory. Ask what gives God the greatest glory. I am not against praying for Pastor Saeed over there in Iraq and in prison. I think it's a great thing to pray for that man. But he himself has asked that we don't pray for his release many times. Why? Because he's getting to share the gospel. What happens in our own life if what we're praying for does not give God the greatest glory? Are we asking in the name of Jesus? Are we asking in the name of Jehovah? Oh, Jehovah God, I'm asking in your name to give me fill in the blank. What if fill in the blank is not going to give God the greatest glory? It's all right, God, I'm good with it. So what Jesus is telling his disciples, what's going to give our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be his name, what's going to give him the greatest glory? Jesus says, giving you a piece of bread gives God great glory. Third, final one, we'll quit here. Matthew 21:22. Jesus says, all things whatsoever you ask in prayer. Remember what prayer is? It's not a laundry list telling God what you think or what you need. It's a conversation. Whenever you enter into a conversation, a faithful, righteous, faith-believing, you know, a real conversation with God, believing, you shall receive. The prayer of faith brings God's great resources. You can find that in the book of James. The prayer of faith brings God's great resources. I don't think with this crowd I have to put any asterisks on that. It's not the prayer of faith that God's going to answer your birthday list or what your greatest... No, the prayer of faith. God, you've got a greater plan than I do. I can't even breathe without you. I can't even love without you. I can't even hate without you, God. I need you. I'm asking for your glory to be done in this. So, Lord, your glory is your plan done for your will. Do it. Here it is, God. Your great resources displayed in my life. pretty cool resources that these guys got to see as they walked with Jesus. Pretty cool resources. Even in paying their taxes. Studying that one today. Oh my God, what are we going to do? Bring me a fish. What are you going to do with a fish? Like a magic trick. No. See, sometimes God meets our needs in ways we never thought possible. Sometimes God is showing us His majesty and His glory and His love and His grace and His mercy in ways that there's no way, God, you'd be doing this. And yet, at the same time, God's doing it. When we pray, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. No doubt in my mind there are things that I need to pray. Things I need to pray, confessing, declaring, and receiving. Receiving from God. Father, help us, because even in your own words, Lord, you say that this world can captivate us. The busyness, the hustle and the bustle and the running and the going and the plans and the stuff can become so intense and so overwhelming that it chokes out the fruitfulness of your word in our lives. God, we get going through the day and we're just moving, and we get going through our life and all the commotion, and we lay down in bed at night and come to the crazy realization that we haven't really even spoken to you. Really. We might have spoken at you. We might have looked toward you. But we just went through a whole day, God. And we never really were with you. Help us. Teach us. Mold us by your word, through your spirit, Lord. God, may we begin to ask like the disciples did. Teach us how to have a communion, a relationship intimately with you. God, as we go from this place, the enemy's going to do everything he can to discourage us, to stay away from your word. Everything he can to distract us from your word, from your presence. Oh God, protect us. Empower us. Keep us from those threats. Teach us how to put on the full armor. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Did I not fill in a blank? So that happens when I watch the...